In the beginning, God. And without God, there would be no beginning. Because only God had the wisdom to create what is created. Only God had the power to do it. He was the great architectural engineer that designed it. His Son acted as superintendent, and His Holy Ghost acted as the foreman, and the angels acted as the workers. We find ourselves in the midst of a universe that He created. And as a result of it, God, in the very beginning, we go ahead to recognize that He created many things. Created all things that's ever created. The only one that has power to create is God. Man cannot create anything. We can assemble a lot of things that God's created. But man cannot create anything. So everything that's ever been created, God did it. The heavens and the earth and all that's in the world. By Him and for Him it was created, and without Him wasn't anything created. And so let's remember that in the beginning was God. My friends, He's still God. And He hasn't changed from what He was in the beginning. And He never is going to change. A lot of things changes, but God doesn't. He's the same today that He was before He was. You say, well, where was He before He was? He is in His glory. For there ever was a world, for there ever was an earth, for there ever was a heaven, for there ever was anything else, where was God? He is in His glory. Before any creation came along, He is there. And He brought it all into existence, and when He got it all made, got it all created, in the beginning, God did it all. Therefore, if there's anything to be done now, God will have to do it. If anything's done that's worthwhile, if anything that's done is good, if anything's accomplished that amounts to anything, God will still have to do it. Every good thing comes from God. And didn't going to come from anywhere else. Didn't going to come from a depraved humanity. It didn't going to come from the devil. He didn't going to come from anybody except God. My friends, it didn't going to come from legislation or education or recreation or nothing else. If anything good comes, it'll have to come from God. So we need to turn around and lift our eyes to the hills from whence cometh our help. We've sought out this thing, we've sought out that thing, this way, that way. We've sought a man to lead us, we've sought a man to do this, that, and the other. And it'll all wind up going back to look at God. Because if God don't do it, it won't be any good anyway. And God just help us to realize that all hope is turned back to God. And then you need to look into me. And then you need to look into any organization. And then you need to look into any crowd. There's just one way to look, and that's God. In the beginning, God had everything right. And in the end, God will have everything right. And so if we're going to get on the right level, we're going to have to come up where God is. God isn't coming down on mine, your level. That's the trouble now. We're trying to pull God down on our level. And He isn't coming. You come up where God is, or my friends, you're not going to get with God. Now just well face it. A lot of us have come down. In degradation and so on. And the world today is wanting God to come down on their eyes. Wanting God to run the thing like they think He already runs. And God ain't coming down here. If we want to get with God, we're going to have to work where God is.
Amen.
Now, this will face that. No making a difference how many people think they'll pull God down and drag God down. That isn't going to settle it. Because, my friends, God's the way out. He was right to start with. He'll be right when it's over. He is good when it's started. He'll be good when it's over. And the whole trouble is the swaying down. There's God, there's God. But the weight down in the middle that's keeping us from being up on the level of God is sin in your life and mine. If it wasn't for sin, we'd still be up there along with God on a plane with God. And if you're not on the plane with God this morning, if you're not walking with God and talking with God this morning, it isn't God's fault, it's yours. And the reason it's your fault is sin in man. And if you're not seeing God today, it isn't God's fault. My friends, it's your fault. Isaiah said, God's hand's not short that it cannot see. God's ear is not deaf that it cannot hear. But your sins have separated between you and your God and hid as it were his face. So if you're not seeing God, it's not somebody else's fault, it's your sin. Now you may pack it on somebody else, but God said if you're not seeing God, it's because of sin in you. And we stop to recognize then if you want to see God, you've got to get the sin out of you. You've got to get cleansed from sin. You've got to get purged from your sin. And then the drape will be drawn and you can see God. And so, if you're going around and say, well, I just don't see God, all you're doing is announcing that there's something in you that isn't right. You're not throwing a reflection on somebody else. You just are hollering, hey, I've got a drape between me and God because of sin. When I get all of my sins confessed and get cleansed from all of them, I can see God. You say, well, I don't see God. Okay. Get your sins out of the way you can. In the beginning, God. And then after God had created everything and saw that everything was good, he found himself alone. He said, let us make a man in our image. Somebody to walk with, somebody to commune with, somebody to fellowship, somebody to appreciate what we've done, somebody to behold what we've done. And God created a man in his own likeness. What did you mean? My friends, it simply means this. He created a man that was in the will of God. He saw as God saw. He lived as God had had him live. There wasn't any sin in it. So God could come in the cool of the evening and man could talk with God and walk with God and fellowship with God. He saw the direct purpose of God was in the mind of man. He didn't have anybody to serve but God. He didn't have anybody to walk with but God. He didn't have anybody to fellowship with but God. He didn't have anything to do with anybody but God. God made him like that. He didn't know nobody but God. He couldn't talk to anybody but God. He couldn't walk with anybody but God. He didn't have anybody to fellowship but God. There wasn't anybody else there but God. And they had a good time together. And the only reason you and I are not having a good time together is sin got in us. And if you're not having a good time with God today, it's because there's sin in you somewhere. If I'm not having a good time with God, it's because there's sin in me somewhere. And so we stop to recognize, then, my friend, God made man an upright man in the will of God. All he knew was God's will. All he knew was God's plans. Everything pointed him toward God. He looked to God coming in the garden in the evening. He looked to the time when he'd walked with God and talked with God and fellowship with God. And he was agreeable to the nature of God. Hey, why didn't he look cautious stuff in him? He agreed with God. He had fellowship with God. Everything about God was all right. Everything about God was good and fine. We stopped to realize his will was God's will. He didn't have any other will except God's will. Without, there he was. He was, didn't have any imperfections. He didn't have any corruption. He didn't have anything to contrary to God. So there wasn't anything except just have a good time with God. Now, the only reason you're not, and I'm not having a good time with God is imperfection in us. The only reason we don't have a good time with God is corruption in us. The only reason we're not having a good time with God, we've got contrary with God. As long as you're in God's will, as long as you're going God's way, as long as you're doing God's will and carrying out God's purpose and living on the level God is, you have a good time. Enoch walked with God. And when Moses came down, they saw the glory of God upon his face when he came down from the mountain. Why? He'd been up there where God was. The reason my face don't glow and yours don't glow like it ought to, we hadn't been up there where we ought to be with God. And you get where Moses got with God, my friends, and you'll have a glow on your face when they see you. You get where Enoch was and walk with God, and you have fellowship with God. But the thing that's barring all of us from having fellowship with God is sin. The thing that's keeping us from seeing God is that sin. And the thing that's keeping us from getting this nation saved is sin. Not that the nation don't need God. Not that the lost soul isn't hungry for God. But my friends, he said God's not deaf. He's not gone deaf to our prayers. Not that God's arm has shrunk up and swiveled. That he can't reach down and save. Sin's got in there. And God isn't going to reach down through my sins and yours. He can't have fellowship with sin. He's holy. He's righteous. He cannot fellowship sin. He's not going to fellowship sin. And as long as we're playing with the world and playing with sin, you need not expect God to use you to rescue the perishing and get the lost folks saved. My friends, you just as well defeat it. Folks who are trying to keep up with the fashions and the styling of the world, you never hear tell of them leading anybody to Christ. You never hear tell of them getting anybody saved. And as a result of it, there's nothing wrong with God. There's nothing wrong with the fact that folks are not getting saved except my sin and your sin. God will still answer prayer. God will still reach down and save. But our sins have got in there. That's keeping God from doing it. Didn't the sinner's fault. Didn't God's fault. The fault's in you and me. It's right in there. And if we never get that thing erased, bless God, we'll have a revival and thousands and hundreds of thousands of folks will get saved. Now I pray this will be a time of cleansing of the saints of God that come on these grounds. Get ourselves dressed up, cleaned up, washed up, fit to be used of God, and let us go back out sooner and do what God wants us to do. My beloved, too many of us are afraid we'll get too righteous. Too many of us are afraid we're going to get too good. Too many of us afraid.
We're going to, well, God gets a hold of us, we'll overdo it and be over-religious.
We're afraid of God. You're afraid to let God come in you and clean you up all the way. Got a bunch of little old stinking nasty habits we don't want to give up. God gets in there and clean house for us. Got a lot of little old stinking things in our lives we don't want to get rid of. And God comes in, that means radiance. We'd rather stay down on the other level than to try to get up on His level. In the beginning, God. Then in the end, is God. But look what a sway back thing it is between the beginning and the end. And all it weights it down to that is sin. There's nothing else. If you remove all the sins, you'll come back on a level. And as we stop to recognize it, my brother, sister, then we must realize something. That man must get rid of his sins. He said, if a man has regard for iniquity in his heart, God won't answer our prayer. So as we face it, let's look at some things. There's the things that's keeping God from answering our prayers. His ear is not deaf. His hand's not short. He willeth the death of no man. He don't want to send this world to hell. He wants it saved. He's still here. He'll still reach and save. But will we clean up to where He can hear, where He can save, is the great question today. Nothing's gone wrong with God. Nothing's happened to God. It's all happening to me and you. And it's sin that's making it happen. We need to get mad at sin. We need to fall out with sin. We need to turn against sin. We need to quit feeling sorry for the devil's crown and the devil's world. We need to quit sympathizing because everybody's doing it. My friend, we can go on and compromise and give up and whine and say, well, everybody's doing it and we're living in a different age. I'll grant you that. But I'll tell you another thing. It hadn't changed God. And it hasn't licensed sin. And it hadn't licensed worldliness. And it hadn't licensed rebelling against the will of God for your life and mine. So let's face the truth today. In the beginning, God. And man was right there with Him. Walked with Him. Talked with Him. Fellowship with Him. And they had a great time together. And all man knew was God's will, God's purpose. His chief purpose was God. His chief aim in life was God, the will of God, the plan of God. He didn't have anything to think about but what God wanted him to think about. But now they... Man went off after some other stuff. Cause he's gonna get smart. Eat of this fruit, and you'll have a great intellectual breakthrough. You'll get real smart. Man ate of it. And he became smart. He found out, my friends, that he'd hit spiritual and physical and mental bankruptcy. Soon as he did it, man went out and hid. And God came in the cool of the day, and he didn't want to see God. So he trotted off out there and hid out in the bushes. And God come and said, Adam, Adam, where art thou? Did you sit up behind the bush and say, here I am. What hast thou done? made you want to run off and hide like that. What have you done, Adam? The woman thou gavest me, she got me into this stuff. Looked at the woman, said that beautiful creature, he talked me into it. You know, we're always blaming everybody. But remember, he didn't tell a woman not to eat of this fruit. He didn't tell a woman not to listen to the serpent. But he told Adam, don't eat of the fruit. And so as a result, Adam didn't listen to God and ate the fruit. And man's been running from God ever since. Man's been trying to get away from God ever since. And the nature of depravity that's in you makes you run from God and try to escape God's will. You in a constant warfare, and I'm in a constant warfare to try to keep from doing what God actually wants us to do. There's, we know He don't want us to commit certain sins and have certain feelings in our hearts towards people, but we're going to have many hands. We know He don't want us to do certain things. We go on and do them anyhow. And we know that He wants us to do certain things, and we won't do them because it's what He wants and it isn't what we want. And there we are. In the beginning, God had man where he could have fellowship with Him. God had man where he could have a good time with Him. And in the wind-up, God's going to have you in the same position. So why cut such a rupture between here and there? God had him going with him all the way to start with, and if you ever get to go with God in the end, you'll be all the way with him. What do you want to have such a buck and fit against him between here and there for? Why have such a spell of fighting God now? Don't want to do God's will. Don't want to say what God wants you to say. Don't want to be what God wants you to be. All the time choking off the Holy Spirit. All the time quenching Him. All the time rebelling against Him. Don't want to do what God wants us to do. My friends, we'll never have a revival in this country until we get our sins cleared out between us and God. We must face it. We cannot. You notice the scripture that I read you there in the scripture reading. There in the book of 1 John. Go back and look at it for a moment. We walk in the light, He's in the light. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, let us say, oh, I'm with the Lord. I'm with the Lord. You run around in dark areas and living a shady life and carrying on a shady conversation and hollering you with the Lord. He said, you lied. If you love the things of the dark, if you love a shady life, if you love a shady conversation, if you love a shady feeling in your heart towards somebody, if you love the things of the world, and you say you're having fellowship with God, you're just lying, that's all. Because He said you just don't have it that way. But if you get everything where you're willing for the light to be turned on, then you can have fellowship with God because you're not afraid of what's going to be found. Most of us live in fear all of the time for fear the light's going to get turned on some of our mean streaks in us. We don't want the light on because it reveals some little old mean streak that we think we've got hid, but you haven't got it hid from God. You may have it hid from the preacher. You may put on a front. But my friends, God knows what you are when you're in the dark. God judges me and you by what we are when we're in the dark, more than when we're in the light. God don't judge you by how you live when you're in the presence of the preacher. God don't judge you by how you live when you're in the presence of some godly group of people. He's judging you by how you are back out here in the dark. He's judging you by the kind of life you live out there in the shadows. So how is that? Oh, you can put on a front when you get around a religious group of people. And when you can put on a real front, but your face don't shine very well when you do that. They don't see much glow on it. Your countenance is not so hot when you're doing it. But we're fooling ourselves into believing we're getting by with it. We must face the issue. What's wrong? God's ear's not deaf. God's hand's not shortened, shrunk up. Why is it that folks are not getting saved and prayer's not being answered? God says because of your sin and my sin. So if we're going to get this nation saved, brother, and get God to hear our prayers, we need a house cleaning in ourselves. If we can't have fellowship with one another, my friends, then you're in the dark. If there's something keeping you from fellowshipping each other, it's because you've got a dark streak in you. There's a shady life in there. Let's face it. Why are you afraid for your life to come to the surface and come to the light? Why are you ashamed for the spotlight to be turned on your life? Would you be ashamed? Come on. Would you be ashamed if all your life was the last 12 months of splashed on a screen every act and thought? Just suppose some unknown person had been taking all the look at it and recording everything you said and putting a talking movie on. And throwing everything you said and done, and where you've been, and saying everything you said on a talkie, and revealing everything in your life on the screen, and letting the public look at it. How would you like that one? And that's what's the matter with you. That's what's the matter with me. You see, we're trying to cover. We're all trying to pull up the cover, trying to cover. And it's too short. It's too narrow. It just don't work. In spite of all of the snitching of the cover, folks are seeing some either feet sticking out or something. That's the reason we're mad about. We as well face the truth. My friends, we cry, what's wrong with the world? Hey, what's wrong with the world? What's wrong with God's yelling this morning? Then what's wrong with the world? It's what's wrong with you. Then what's wrong with the hippies? The hoppies? It's what's wrong with you. That you don't have enough power to pray the power of God till the whole crowd will fall under conviction. Wrong with us is the thing we need. Jesus started to wash the disciples' feet, and when he got to Peter, Peter said, "You will wash my feet." Jesus said, "What I do now, you don't understand, but a little later you'll know." He said, "You'll not wash my feet." Jesus said, "If I wash not your feet, thou hast no part in my kingdom." Peter said, "Not only my feet, but my head, my hands. Give me a bath that takes it. I want a part in your kingdom." Now, what's he say? Jesus is simply saying, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part in my business." What's he say?
I can't use a defiled saint. I can't use people with defiled hands to hand out the bread of life.
Folks don't want it out of dirty hands.
I can't use a defiled saint to give out the water of life because folks don't want water out of the dirty vessels. Now, he wasn't talking about salvation. He's talking about a cleansing here. He said, he that's clean doesn't need cleansing except his feet. Where is defiled? Man's been saved. He don't need to get saved again. He can't get saved again. It's an eternal act of God. But I tell you, you can get dirty feet. And a lot of us Baptists need a clean foot washing. And I'm not talking about some old brother or sister down at the front with a basin of water and a towel either. That scare ain't going to get you clean, me clean. Because you're not fit to wash mine. Yours is dirty as mine. And I'm not fit to wash yours. Mine's dirty as yours. All I've ever washed feet in the Bible is Jesus.
That's right. Amen.
And my friend, that old Peter didn't understand, but when he got out of my bed and said, I've been washed his feet, got them feet by the devil's cross far. And they healed enough of him to deny the Lord. Then he knew he had dirty feet.
Yeah.
And he headed to the house for a book. A confession.
Yeah.
And told Jesus, I have got dirty feet.
Yeah.
I did get my feet dirty. Oh, God, have mercy on me. And cleanse me. And the biggest problem for most of us Baptists, we think we're too good to have dirty feet. It's the other fellow's got dirty feet. It's the other one that's dirty. And we all think we need a cleansing. That was Peter's answer. You don't wash my feet. Jesus said, I don't use your feet. But when he found out he got with the wrong crowd and stuck his feet in the wrong crowd's pot, he knew he needed the foot washing. And what we need is realize we've been set out with our feet with the wrong crowd's pot. And with our dirty feet, and God won't do this to share the Bible in this country.
Amen.
We need a foot washing.
Amen.
We need a confession of our sins before the Lord, not to some preacher. Mine's as dirty as yours. You need to go to the Lord and confess your sins, and I need to go to God and confess my sins and come out with clean feet. And then he can use us to produce a revival in this country. Oh, listen, my friend. The need of this hour. In the beginning, God. In the end, God. But look what we have brought over. It's a sway down up there. Like a sway back knee. High on both sides. What sin in my life and yours has brought her down. Oh, I pray God we'll have enough sin confession that we'll get her all on the level during this conference. Get her all on the same plane. And I'll tell you, if the Baptists of this country ever get on the same level with God, Russia, communism, modernism, and liberalism will go down like a hot snowball on a hot summer day. Our hope is back on a level with God. Quit trying to bring God down to the present day world. Quit trying to bring God down. And say it's a generation gap. It's a gap, but sin's made it.
Amen.
My beloved, sin's made the chasm. Sin's made the gap. Sin's built the down condition. All the thing that'll tighten up the strings and put it back on a level with God is sin out of me and you. And when we get our lives clean, when we get ourselves confessed up, when we get ourselves unloaded, then God can do something. We'll walk with Him. We'll talk with Him. And have fellowship with Him.
You quit and run not trying to keep Him around the corner of each other.
No. Trying to see something that the young fellow's life so we can justify our own means. Majority of us Baptists spend our lives running around trying to find something wrong with somebody else so we'll excuse our means for it.
I can find something wrong with Brother So-and-so. I don't feel so miserable. I'm good as he is. I wouldn't do things he does. I'm good as she is. I wouldn't do things she does. So I'm a pretty nice person. Nice, rotten with sin.
What do you want to honor and justify your meanness because you're better than somebody else and you do more than the other fellow and you think better than the other fellow? You would stoop to do something. Why don't you measure your life by Jesus? See where you at. Why don't I measure my life by Jesus and see where I am this moment? Most of us excusing ourselves from our stinking meanness and sinfulness by justifying it with other folks. I'm on a level. I'm good as anybody else. You're good for nothing but the devil when you like that. We need to put her up here on a level with God. Now let's face it. Are your feet clean? I'm not raising the question whether you're saved or not. But can God use you? Jesus said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part. I can't use you in my kingdom. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you usable in the sight of God? Now, not in your sight, nor my sight. But let's have ourselves some searching questions here this morning. Are you usable in the sight of God? If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Have you got your feet washed lately? Huh? Or you still running out there crowding, seeing what everybody else thinks about it?
Let's face it.
I'm going to call your attention to another passage in 1 Timothy, 2nd chapter. First Timothy 2:8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lift and uphold their hands. Without wrath, without doubt. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lift and uphold their hands. Are your hands clean? Will you lift them up to God in holiness and pray? Can you come and say, Lord God, with clean hands and clean feet and without a doubting heart, I come? Or have you been walking in forbidden territory? Talking in forbidden conversation. Looking at forbidden sight. Handling unclean things. Has your feet got you fired? Have you got dirty hands? Have you got an unforgiving heart? We only two things, brother, sister. It's either God or me and you. Which is it?
I'll have to first obey God.
So it's us.
So let us in the beginning of this conference have a good foot washing from Jesus.
Let us in the beginning have pulled down a bunch of
dirty stuff we've been handling in our lives. Get clean hands. And let us ask God for grace to get all unforgiven spirits and jealousy and hurt feelings out of our hearts. And he said he'd answer. If my people, not the devil's people, not the world's, but if my people,
which are called by my name, will humble themselves,
and that's not getting on me, not getting on anything, I'll get down here on my face and cry with rugs, wet with tears. You say, I don't put three bones on a fellow, I'm sorry. All the time I'm down that prison, I may have an unforgiven spirit in my heart if somebody can serve. I haven't got a lot of street of devil in me.
I'm putting on a religious show.
Humbleness is not the position of your body.
But to be humble means to be yielded to the will of God. Where they can say, not my will, but thine.
If my people, which are called by my name, shall yield to my will and my purpose,
that puts you back up on the same level, doesn't it? Did you come down?
And seek my face. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, shall submit to the will of God, and seek my face. But you see,
long as Adam sinned, he's looking forward to seeing the face of God. He wanted to see God.
He longed to walk and talk and fellowship with God. But when he got to see him, he hid. He won't see God's face. And really, there's a lot of us don't want to see God's face. We're afraid he'd tell us to quit some of our mean streets.
If my people, which are called by my name, shall kneel themselves to my will and to my purpose and seek my face and pray and then turn away from their wicked ways. Head out from your wickedness.
Turn your back on it. And say, I'm done with it. No matter what people think and call me crackpot, think what the ones think, take whatever the attitude, but I'm through.
I'm through with my name. It's not the job. I'm getting up on God's level.
Then he'll heal our land. But he's not going to heal as long as we run church and have a little religious emotion.
Then when we get back home and calm down, we're the same mean old wicked cusses we were before we went to church. We go to church, we get all emotionally excited, and we put on a real religious front.
But when we get back out there in the cold of the night, we got the same old feel towards each other we had before we went and got stirred up emotionally.
We got the same old desire to go out there and wallow where we've been wallowing. Got the same old interest to go back and handle certain things we've been handling. Look at the same old bird, stuff that they're looking at. Walking the same crowds we've been walking.
He didn't say he'd heal our land that way, did he? He You say, preacher, you just take down on us because we're here. Now, my folks have got it for 2 months now. I'm a little calm this morning to what I have been. But you hear me?
My friends, we're dealing with a problem that we got. In the beginning, God. In the end, there's God. What about the in-between? You and I.
The world's sinking in sin. The world's going to hell. Why? You and me. Not God. Not Christ. Not the Holy Ghost. Not the Bible. You and me.
That's where it's at. God have mercy on us. During these days, God help us get back up on the ground. Pick the thing up. And get on a level where he can help us. Because if he don't help us, we've had it. This year is Sabre. Well, she's gone. 7 is the same year for this country. But this year don't save it. It's gone.
What's going to cost you and me
a foot washing
and a hand cleansing and a heart cleansing? Clean feet, clean hands, a clear heart. Had your feet washed? What is it? A confession.
When Peter realized what he'd done,
he went out there and said, I have sinned. I'm sorry. Lord, cleanse me. He didn't keep on stomping his feet and cussing and saying he didn't know the Lord. He went and repented and asked for a cleansing, and God cleansed him, and it had a wild one, didn't it? How about it, God say it?
Amen.
We need our foot washing. We need to get our hands clean. While we can lift up holy hands, we need to get our hearts have cleaned out, my beloved, where we can have a heart of pity and a heart of compassion and love for our lost nation that have put our feet out of the world and have taken our hands away from the dirty things.
I would see America saved. That's all it's going to save her. Nothing else. To know God's part, his ear is not deaf. His hand is not short.
But our sins. Our sins.
He's that way between us and him.
Drop the veil. We can't see God to see the sin. God has to keep you. Feet washed. Said he would confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To cleanse us. Clean hands.
Wash feet. Clear heart. Here we come. The veil's rented. There's God. Heart of compassion instead of hate. Heart of compassion instead of jealousy. Heart of compassion instead of hurt feelings and prejudices. God, hear it. That'll save us. In the beginning, God. In the end, God. What will man do with the in-between? Ladies and gentlemen, he left it in our hands. He put us ruler of this world. And we can clean up, or we can rot it. It's up to us. Therefore, that men pray to her lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. We walk in the light as he is in the light, without fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God help us to see it. Therefore, we want fellowship with God. We've got to get in the light.
God doesn't want to fellowship you outside of the dark.
You get in the light and you fellowship. When you get in the light and God fellowship you, you fellowship each other. Did you know when you get to fellowship in God, you fellowship each other? But you can't have fellowship with God in the dark. If there's some shady something in your life, you can't have fellowship with God. I can't. Some shady something in our life, we can't have fellowship. Are you having fellowship with God today? You say, no, preacher. Something shady in your life. Are you walking in heaven fellowship with God? No! You're in the dark. The veil. Get all these sins out. The veil's ready. There's God. What about it? Confessing it to me won't do you a bit of good. But he said if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Can you lift up holy hands today and pray? Or is there something in your heart that's not clear and you can't pray? Can you lift up holy hands and say, God, with clean hands and clean feet and a clear heart, I come today to ask God to save America. Your hand's still long, your ear's still open. Now I want to confess my sins so I can pray that you reach your hand down and save those I'm concerned about. Song. Would you like to come up here or get out in the aisle? Get out on your knees and ask God to clean you up. Clear out your heart. Wash your feet and clean your hands. Well, you can honestly say with holy hands. Holy hands, I pray. If you'd like to do it, you just come to the altar. You can't get in the altar, get out in the aisle. And you don't pray to me, you don't confess to somebody else, you just tell the Lord, look, Lord, clean me up. Wash my feet, clean my hands. Clear my heart. Because I want to see this nation saved.